Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Feng Yan from the College of William Mary. This is a joint work with Xenia Moncho-Ido. I'm Aluiska from EMC Corporation and my advisor, Evgenia Smirny. The work I present today is about how to estimate the performance delay with propagation effects in disk power savings. We all know there are more and more power-hungry data centers around the earth, and the power saving has become a really big issue in recent years. However, the question is why the storage systems? First of all, let's see a pie graph that shows the breakdown of the power consumption by the type of devices in data centers. From the graph, we can see the storage systems can consume up to 37% of the total power in data centers, which makes it a great power-saving target. There are many types of storage systems. In order to make our method more portable and scalable, we focus on the single disk level and treat all the complexity upper level as a black box. Another important fact is these disks are underutilized. And actually, most of the time, these disks are idle, which suggests there is a great opportunity for the power savings. However, there is no free lunch. Power saving also brings the problem of penalty. The penalty here is the time to switch from the power saving mode to the active mode. During this penalty time, the storage system is unable to serve any incoming new user request, and the user performance may be impacted. This table is summarized from the reports from Hitachi and Seagate that outlines the power saving mode. We can see for different power saving modes, the power saving amount and also the according penalty time is different. Essentially, different power saving modes save power by slowing down or even stopping the mechanical components in the disk. So the penalty time is mainly due to the warm-up progress of these components. From the table, we can see though the deeper power saving level can give us more power savings, but it also the overhead is also much higher. So we focus only on the first two power saving modes. Though the power saving modes we focus on has relatively smaller penalty, but it is still orders magnitude larger than the I/O request. If ignoring this penalty without proper control, the I/O request will be delayed a lot, and there will be performance disasters. So in general, there are two properties an efficient scheduler should try to achieve. First, doing the power saving should be transparent to the user traffic. Second, in the condition of meeting the performance requirement, the power saving amount should be maximized. Since the user performance may be impacted by the penalty time, we need a metric to track such impact. Here, we measure the performance transparency with the performance degradation, which is defined as the ratio of the average extra delay due to power savings and the original user average response time. If the performance degradation is smaller than or equal to the predefined user target, then it is transparent to the user traffic. We also need a metric for the power saving amount. Here we measure the power saving amount by the percentage of time the system stays in the power saving mode out of the total idleness. Of course, the higher percentage, the more power savings. And the 100% is actually the ideal maximum power saving any scheduling can ever achieve. Otherwise, the user request cannot finish, right? Because there's limited time. If you always do the power saving, then there's no time for the user requests. Now let's see what are the state of the art scheduling strategies out there. First is the aggressive scheduling. Assume this is the timeline. The blue box represents the idle period, and orange box represents the busy period. Or we can think about it's a user request. For aggressive scheduling, it schedules the power saving immediately with no user request outstanding in the system, as shown in the green box. When user request comes, because the system cannot serve it immediately due to the penalty time introduced before, so there will be an extra delay after the power saving, as shown in the red box, and let's denote it as P. And let's put together the extra delays and the power savings for easy observation. We can see there are more red boxes here than the above penalties. This is because the delay cannot only impact the first following user request, but may propagate to impact more user requests. And in order to protect the performance, the utilization-guided scheduling has been proposed. It only schedules the power saving when no user request outstanding, and also the system is in a low utilization. We can see it tries to avoid scheduling the user request during high utilization period so that the performance can be protected. However, due to the difficulty in predicting the future user the future utilization levels, we can say it cannot always schedule as wished. The fixed idle scheduling can avoid the problem of the utilization prediction. It always idle wait for a fixed amount of time, I, before going to any power saving mode. Essentially, such method helps protect the user performance by filtering out the small idle periods. Because during this small idle period, there's a very limited amount of power saving, but the user performance impact, the penalty is still the same. Compared to the fixed idle waiting scheduling, our scheduler introduced one more parameter, T, to limit the time the system stays in the power saving mode in each idle period, so that the system can be proactively ready to serve any of the incoming user requests. For easy interpretation, we include the penalty time P in T. So the real power saving limit is actually T minus P amount, as shown in the green box. From the red and the green box comparison, we can see our framework strikes the best balance in terms of efficient scheduling the power saving and controlling the user performance delay. This is because it can both avoid using small idle periods and make the system proactively ready for the new user coming request. Actually, the real strength of our framework is the ability to estimate the performance degradation and also the power saving amount. Before I show you the details of the calculation, let's first see three cases in our scheduling. The first case is when the idle period length is smaller than I. We can see in this case there's no power savings and also no performance degradation either. The second case is when the idle period length is longer than I but smaller than the I plus T, the limit. In this case, the new user request comes before the system gets ready, so there are power savings and also the performance degradation. And the third case is when the idle periods are long enough. In this case, the system stops saving power after T minus P amount of time has been reached. even if there is still idleness remains. We can say in this case, there is power saving but no performance degradation because the system is proactively ready. From here, we can see both the power savings and the performance degradation depends on the idle period length. And in the next slide, I will show you how we use the distribution of the idle period length to estimate the performance degradation and also the power saving amount. This is the cumulative distribution histogram, or CDH, of idle period length. And the x-axis is the idle period length, and the y-axis is the probability from 0 to 1. And this CDH can be obtained by online monitoring. Actually, the overhead is very small because the CDH is very impact information, just two columns of numbers. It can be updated online and over the time so that the workload changing can be captured. The parameters IT and P are the same as introduced before. First, all the idle period lengths smaller than I will not be used, so we don't need to worry about the blue region. For the idle period length for in the light gray region, the power saving amount and the performance penalty is shown in the green and the green and the red bars. In this case, the new user traffic always comes when the system is still in the power saving mode, so no proactive action has been taken, and we can see the penalty is always to the maximum amount P. For the idle period length for in the dark gray region, the power saving and the performance impact also shows in the dark green and dark red region. We can say in this case, the new user request comes when the system has either finished or during the process of warm up. So there is proactive action has been taken, and it helps reduce the performance delay. If we multiply the probability with the according power saving amount, then sum them together, then we can get the average amount of power savings. And through the similar way, we can get the average extra delay due to the power savings. Actually, the power saving amount and the average extra delay is the error value of the green and the red regions. And we can see such error is impacted by the CDH shape, the parameters of I, T, and P. Because the CDH shape and the parameter P is determined by the workload itself, our scheduling essentially scanning different R and T to find the qualified scheduling pairs so that the user user targets can be satisfied. So far, all the estimation are based on the assumption that there's no propagation effects. However, life is not that easy. Sometimes the delay will not impact only the immediate following user request, but may propagate to impact more user requests. So the question is, how can we quantify these propagation effects? Let's start with an easy, simple example. In the graph, we name the idle periods from I1 to I4 and name the user request from 0 to 3. Let's assume the average amount of the penalty, the extra delay, is P unit of time. And we can see in this case, one power saving in the first idle period caused both request 1 and request 2 get delayed. Let's denote the first delay as W1. The first delay is actually the case of the previous analysis. That is, if the new user request comes before the system is ready, and there will be extra delay due to the power savings. And the value can be any value between 1 and p, depends on the system warm-up progress when the new user request comes. Let's denote the second delay as w2. And we can see the second delay only occurs when the first delay is larger than the first following idle period. And because the first following idle period can absorb at least one unit of the delay, so we can see when the delay propagates to the second idle period, it can be as p minus 1 as the maximum value. If we keep on tracking these delays, we can generalize it to the case delay. Essentially, when the delay propagates further, the delay amount becomes smaller. Based on this observation, we can defer that for the delay of length p, it can only occur at the first delay. And for the delay length of p minus 1, it can occur at the first or the second delay. Similarly, for the delay of p minus k plus 1, it can occur at any of the k delays. And this is an important observation because we can then calculate the probability of each delay length according to the previous delay and also the CDH of idle period. And for example, for the probability of delay being p, because it can only occur at the first delay, and everything happens in the first delay is essentially the no propagation case as we analyzed before. So we can figure out it from the CDH of idle periods. And essentially it is the probability of an idle period falls in the light gray region. For the probability of length being p minus 1, there are two cases because it can occur at the first or the second delay. If it at the first delay, we can still figure out from the CDH as the same as the no propagation case. And we can see it actually the first beam in the dark gray region. If at the second delay, it is the case that the first delay is p amount of time. Also, the first following idle period is one unit of time. Note the recursive way of the calculations here, as highlighted in the red circle. This is very important because by doing this, we can essentially we can recursively calculate all the delay being any of the p amount of time. And through the similar way, we can get all the delays of all the delay length cases. After knowing all these delays, we can multiply each delay length with its according probability and then sum them together to get the average extra delay due to the power savings with propagation effects. Now, let's come back to the very beginning scheduling example and target. From this example, we can see once the extra delay and the power saving amount can be estimated, we can actually control the red and the green lengths so that the scheduling goals can be satisfied. Now let's come to the experimental evaluation. We use a set of enterprise traces from Seagate to drive our experiments. And these traces are measured at the disk level from an application server called code and a file server called file. This table shows a subset of characteristics of these traces. From the table, first, we can see these disks are underutilized. which indicates there are great power saving opportunities. Second, the high variance in the idleness indicates it is very challenging to use these idle periods for the power saving purpose. And also, the necessary of using the CDH instead of other simple parameters like the average idle length to store the idle periods information. We plot the CDH of idle period length to confirm the delay propagation is widely existing in the system because there are many small idle periods. The x-axis is the idle period length and it's in log scale. And the y-axis is the probability. We can see there's a large percentage of idle periods that are actually very small. For example, more than 65% of the idle periods are smaller than the average penalty. This indicates the high probability of the delay propagation. Now, let's see the experiment result from our trust-driven simulations. This graph shows the comparison between our scheduling and also the common practice solutions. The left graph shows the performance degradation in percentage, and the right graph shows the power savings in percentage. Because our scheduling can provide the performance guarantees, so we show three different user performance degradation target cases as in the x-axis. They can be considered as a strict, normal, and loose performance degradation target. The fixed idle weight and the utilization guided method, they are target independent method. So the result do not change when the user requirement changes. First, let's compare our scheduling under 100% performance target case with the fixed idle weight method. We can see though the fixed idle weight method saves much more power, but it also results in much higher performance degradation. Actually, it's orders of magnitude worse than our method. And then let's compare the same case in our scheduling with the utilization-guided scheduling. We can see in this case, the performance degradation is exactly the same. However, our method can save 10 times more powers compared to the utilization-guided scheduling. Finally, don't forget the biggest advantage of our method is that it can provide the exact user performance guarantees. As we can see from the left graph, that the numbers are exactly satisfy the user predefined target. And the reason is we use the more stable information of the CDH instead of other unpredictable, like the difficult to predict parameters like the utilization, and also the sophisticated framework and calculation we are using. In conclusion, we developed a performance delay estimation method that can capture the delay propagation effects. Especially the idea of using the probability of each idle length to quantify the delay and propagation effects is the biggest contribution of our work. And the similar idea can also be used in other similar problems. The enterprise trust-driven simulation verified the correctness of our work, and we can see both the scheduling goals can be achieved. In the future, we plan to explore the propagation under the clustering idleness case, because in our current work, we assume the idle period lengths are independent of each other. We also plan to explore the cross correlation between the idle periods and the busy periods. So hopefully we can develop a better method based on this information. And finally, we plan to implement our work in the real system to complete this work. Thank you very much for your attention. Any questions?
Nice talk. So I really like the, it's quite intuitive idea. The question I had was about your power saving.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say power saving, right, you also degrade the performance, right?
Yes,
so
yes.
That power right. saving is just at the disk, or also you include what is the power you actually spend more on the compute, you know, on the processor because you're delaying your whole thing, right?
Yeah, very good question. Yes. Since we capture more information and need like a more sophisticated method to figure out how to do the scheduling, there's some overhead. However, you can see our method, you know, is very compact. For example, the CDH we are using, it's a very compact information. You just need to update like a table, just a two-column table. One is the probability, one is the add period length. I think to store such information and also for updating just the entries, this is very, very low overhead.
Yeah, but your processor has also stalled, right, for that amount of time, whatever you degrade the performance, and for that period, I'm assuming your processor is installed, right, that is giving out the disk IO request, right? So you are consuming idle period at the processor, is that right?
Can I say that again?
So you are assuming you are consuming idle period at your processor, is that right?
Yes, we only save power during the idle period, but our scheduling parameters it's not like always you know update. It's kind of like updated for a large period of time, and once the I and T are calculated, it can schedule for a long time. And yes, of course there are a lot of like online method. To learning method, you can update the scheduling parameters, you know, based on the characteristics of the workload, you can determine how often you need to update the scheduling parameters, actually, this is from another trace we are using. It's from the Microsoft research. You can see this is an overtime plot of the idle period length. You can see the idle period length, the distribution actually didn't change much across time, and usually it shows a daily cycle, or you know, it's kind of periodical, you know, information that is compared to the utilization, it's quite stable. It won't change like frequently, so the total overhead of our framework is quite small.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.